Today on Real Radio.
You are either a Christian by virtue of someone ministering to you. It may have been even the Holy Spirit himself talking to you about how you need to come to Christ. Or you might be a non-Christian this morning and you're trying to say, well, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't think I should be here. The reason why I'm not a Christian is because there's hypocrites everywhere. Well, listen, that's the wrong reason. Jesus Christ is the example. And we're going to look at Paul, who of himself said, now, can you imagine saying this? Paul says, the things that you've seen me do, you do likewise.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're also in a mini-series called The Apostles' Farewell Address, speaking of Paul and his announcement of returning to Jerusalem. We're in chapter 20, which is the basis for this series, though Paul continues to be mentioned all the way to the last chapter. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Acts 20:17. We'll go to verse 25 this morning. Luke, the author of the book of Acts, says there, verse 17, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. If you go into my daughter's room, especially at night, turn off the hall light, turn off any other lights that might be on, the bathroom light, go into their room with the light on, we shut the door, and we'll either stand there or we'll lay down on the bed and we'll look up, but somebody's got to hit the light switch. And when somebody hits that light switch, the room illuminates with stars. They're on the walls, they're on the ceiling, and we've even gotten in the room and laid out the Northern Cross on the north side of the wall and ceiling, and the Big Dipper's over here at one point, the Little Dipper's over here at the other. But I don't know how many are there, we never counted, but it looks like there's hundreds of them. And when you turn off that bedroom light, these things just glow, these peel and stick stars. And what's fun about it, you walk in the room, you can't see them. You can't tell they're on the wall. And then you turn off the light and it's, ooh, you know, you can always hear somebody for the first time when they're in the room. The kids come and they'll turn off the light and go, oh, wow, it's neat looking. Tons of stars. It's great to lay down there. You know, you can imagine that you're off in the wilderness somewhere. Well, in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 3, Daniel tells us there through the Lord that those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the stars, and those who turn many toward righteousness shall shine like the stars of heaven forever and ever. And Paul the Apostle was the kind of minister that was committed to leading people to Christ. And once they came to Jesus Christ, Paul was committed to growing them up in the Lord. Paul had what I think quite possibly might be all the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in his life. My goodness, he was an evangelist. He was a pastor. He had the gift of knowledge and of wisdom and encouragement. So many gifts. And Paul moved in the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. His ministry now, as we come to Acts chapter 20, is beginning to wind down. This is the conclusion of his third and final missionary journey. He will soon be heading off to Rome in chains under arrest by the Roman government for trial. And while in Rome, he will lose his head for the gospel of Christ. He will be martyred. He's elderly now, and he's getting on in years. But Paul is faithful, and as he's leaving the area of Ephesus and Asia, he now draws together the leaders of the church and churches of that area or region in Turkey. I told you last week that this is a tearful time, not only for, I think, Paul, but for those who are listening to him. But I think if we're really faithful to getting into the scripture, we'll begin to understand what might have been felt. So in our study this morning, put on your robes and on your sandals there and be ready and try to listen and try to understand the context of where we're looking. If you're taking notes this morning, you ought to jot this down. We're going to look at two points that are very important. And the first one is found in verses 17 to 21, and that's Paul's farewell talk. Paul will give a farewell talk to these Ephesian elders. And in verses 22 to 25, we're going to see Paul's farewell walk. And I don't know about you, but there are so many people who have brought a reproach toward Christianity. In fact, I heard it last service from someone who heard someone who heard someone talk about something about, aren't Christians supposed to be loving? Aren't Christians supposed to be caring? And this non-believer was judging somebody who was related to somebody, and this person was telling me about the story, and he asked me, well, how do I respond to that stuff? I said, well, first of all, everybody who says there's Christians are not necessarily Christians. Everyone who's in the church is not necessarily of the church. And the witness that you might be receiving from so-called Christians, if it's not Christ-like, is quite possibly from people who are not Christians at all. But listen, the Church of Jesus Christ will survive criticism and will endure. Jesus promised that. But Paul was committed to, listen, talking the talk and walking the walk of Christianity. What he said is what he did with his feet and with his body. And how we all need to be people this morning that are committed Christians to obeying the gospel of Christ. You are either a Christian this morning by virtue of someone ministering to you. It may have been even the Holy Spirit himself talking to you about how you need to come to Christ. Or you might be a non-Christian this morning and you're trying to say, well, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't think I should be here. The reason why I'm not a Christian is because there's hypocrites everywhere. Well, listen, that's the wrong reason. Jesus Christ is the example. And we're going to look at Paul, who of himself said, now can you imagine saying this? Paul says, the things that you've seen me do, you do likewise. Don't you want to say that? I want to be able to say that to you. Things you've seen me do, do likewise. Man, as I was preparing for this message this week, God gave me a snapshot of how rotten I am. Because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at Paul's example and I'm thinking, I want to be, Lord, that's just the best teacher, just the best pastor, the best teacher, that those people really know that they're loved and well-fed and really taken care of like Paul. And the Lord said, liar. And I began to think about that for a minute. Well, gosh, Lord, I mean, really? And I started thinking, you know what? We are so evil. I say we because it helps me feel better. I am. I began to think about what the Lord was calling me on the carpet about. He was thinking, or he was saying to me, you know what? You want these people to be taught. You want them to have a really great message so they'll run out of the building and bring all their friends and people can say, man, God's really moving at Calvary Chapel. And, well, yes, Lord. And the Lord said, man, that's the wrong reason. Your reason needs to be just for them, for their sake, for them. You need to love them because I love them. You need to teach them because I want them taught. You need to give them your life because I've given them my life. You are to be an example. And I mean, that startled me. I, you know, repented and got scared a little bit. None of us want to walk around as some like some spiritual misfit. But we have to be careful. Paul is going to show us how to walk this walk of faith. So in your Bible, look at verse 17 right now. We'll see in verses 17 to 21 Paul's farewell talk. It says here now, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when he had come to him, or when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know that from the very first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you." The very first thing that we see right now is verse 17, that Paul, being the Christian leader who we ought to model ourselves after, called the Ephesian elders to Miletus. Now look, they're about 28 miles away. He sends a messenger and he says, "Hey, I want you guys to come to a real quick pastor's conference." It kind of sounds like it was unplanned. And so they come. 28 miles. Now you and I get in our car and go 28 miles in a moment. It's no big deal. 28 miles for these guys to come. They had to leave jobs. They had to leave families. They came either by sailing or by ship. And they came. Paul not only called them, the beautiful thing is that they responded. They decided to come. I praise God. I'm grateful for the tape ministry here. And the tapes get sent out all over the place. And we're blessed by that. But there are a lot of people who say, "Well, I'm not going to go this month or this week or in my lifetime, I'm going to get tapes." Well, that's fine, kind of. You don't get the worship like Brett was worshiping, leading us in worship. You don't get that on tape. You don't get the fellowship of the brethren together. You don't get that. There's a special blessing that God has engineered in the gathering of us believers together. Are you willing to come and gather around and with God's people? Very important. "Well, you know, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian." That's true, but you go to church to grow. We need to be in fellowship with each other. They respond to Paul's calling. "Why don't you guys come?" And so they come. And look what happens here. It says that the elders came. First of all, the word elders here is a very important word. It's presbyter or presbytery. The word means one who's experienced in spiritual matters. It has nothing to do with how old you are. You know, we think because that guy's got gray hair, it's time for him to be a pastor. You know, that is not right. That's not right according to the Bible. The word elder here is one who is experienced in spiritual matters, regardless of age. You aware of that? And I'm going to want you to jot this down because there's some confusion, and I don't want it to be this way any longer after this look at this word. The word elder is also interchangeable with the word bishop, which is also interchangeable with the word pastor. They all mean the same thing. But listen carefully. The elder is the man and his spiritual experience. The bishop is the ministry that he is involved in. Still the same guy. Pastor is what the elder does when he's bishoping. When he bishops correctly, he pastors. The word means to shepherd the flock. They're all the same thing. If I am going to be a faithful pastor, by the way, Wednesday nights, starting last Wednesday night, be here for the next 3 weeks as we go through our responsibility toward godly leaders in the church. Very important. Some of you might say, "I don't want to even come to a study like that because I've been wronged or hurt." That's why we're doing that study. If we're going to be godly examples, we need to be operating in this position as an elder, experienced in spiritual things. We need to be bishoping, that is exercising and executing the ministry. And how we do it is by pastoring, by overseeing, not overbearing, the ministry. The pastor's to feed, not beat, the sheep. Very important. And so he's called them together. And in verse 18 it says, "And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I've always lived among you.'" Jot this down in your notes, verse 18. Paul's going to talk to them about the past. And this is serious stuff. He says here, "What manner?" The word manner in the Greek means, and it's an interrogative way. He's saying, "You guys come and examine me, all of you elders. You take a look and you examine me," Paul is saying. "And you notice my lifestyle. You've noticed it all along. I want you to know right now and be mindful," he is saying, "that you have witnessed the way I live." Isn't that great? Isn't that refreshing? I don't know what kind of picture you've seen, but if you see guys, they're ministers, and they pull up in a limo and they have people waiting on them. Listen, that is not the word minister. They're some kind of a church superstar, which is an oxymoron. You can't put the two together. It's impossible. Jesus Christ is the star. He's the head. He's the one. But ministers are to be at the bottom of the, what, pyramid? The chain of command? It's supposed to be that way. Now you might be saying, well, yeah, right. Why are you up there on Sunday? Because the teaching of the word goes out to instruct you. I spend time with God to find out what he wants to say to you as God has ordained that you might be lifted up. The minister of God is to decrease like John the Baptist did so that Christ might increase. And if there is a action or if there's a atmosphere in a ministry or a church that's opposite to that, there needs to be repentance. There needs to be a change. Paul is such a great example. In 1 Peter 5:2, the Bible tells us there that we are to be feeding the flock of God, which God has made us overseers of. Not by constraint, not by dishonest gain, but willingly. Not of a selfish mind, but of a mind ready to give. And it says there in verse 3 of 1 Peter 5, that we need to be examples. So he talks about them concerning his past. He says, you've seen my lifestyle. And then look what it says, always. The lifestyle that I've always lived among you. You should underline always. It means absolute consistency, incredible consistency. And you might think like I think, well, that throws me out. You ever have those dry times in your Christian walk and those high times? Maybe like seasons. Have you noticed? Where like there's a summertime in your Christian experience, and then there's a fall and there's a winter where nothing seems to be growing, everything looks dead. Well, you know what? That is not what he's talking about here. Seasons will come and go in your Christian experience. The thing is, he stayed consistent. He stayed at his calling. He kept following the Lord. Man, are you going through a dry time? Keep following the Lord. Are you going through a great time when God is just blessing you now and things are going great? Stay with him. Is it kind of like, is it fall or spring, kind of in between? Stay with the Lord. We all, if we're growing in Christ, will experience these ups and downs. And I tell you, the consistency about Paul being always in the race is he kept his eye on Christ in the midst of the ups and downs. You guys are looking so blank. Do you ever have ups and downs in your life? Thank you. Thank you. I thought I was the only one. Stay with them. I had a precious brother give me a call the other day, and he said, you know what? I am so tired of my Christian walk. It's up and down, up and down. I get so tempted to go back into the world that I came out of. And we began to talk and go through the scriptures about keeping your eye on the cross and on Christ, because the ups and downs will come, but you stay fixed on Jesus. It's being a disciple. Paul was faithful to that, and we need to be faithful to that, and we need to pray that our leaders are faithful to that. Paul had a tremendous obligation towards Jesus Christ. I see that in verses 19 and 20. It says here that he's serving the Lord, and this is a very powerful thing to me, and it means a lot to me, and it should mean a lot to you in service. Listen, he doesn't say, I'm serving the body. Now, did he serve the body? Yes, he did. It doesn't say that he served the church. It doesn't say that he served the board, or it says he served the Lord. And this is the key to Christian burnout. You will never experience burnout as a servant of Jesus Christ if you're doing it under the Lord. Paul says, I'm serving the Lord. Listen, the church is going to let you down. I'm going to let you down. Your best friend's going to let you down. We are humans. We will let you down, sad to say. We don't intend to, but it will happen. God will never let you down. Paul says, I'm serving Jesus Christ. His commitment and his dedication is to him. That's what causes us to keep going in ministry when it gets hostile or gets hard. People might say something about you. Are you going to fold up your ministry? That's it. They hurt my feelings. I'm out of here. Listen, you keep your eyes on Jesus. In fact, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, God's going to use you, and the attacks are going to come just by virtue of you following the Lord. And you've got to be able to realize what I'm doing is for Jesus Christ and Him alone. Because if it's for them, if it's for me, if it's for you, we're going to fail. We're going to run out of gas. We'll start hearing things like, "Don't I do enough for you? Didn't I just do this last week and now you don't even thank me?" You ever heard that? "I did this 10 times today and you didn't even notice it." Listen, you're doing it for them, not for the Lord. The Bible says, "In all that you do, do it unto the Lord." You won't burn out that way. And you'll be able to take criticism because it's going to come. He's serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He's committed to Him. Look what it says, "With all humility and with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews." The word humility is a great word. Listen carefully. Jot it down. Boy, is it something we don't hear about these days. Humility. It means to have a humble mind toward yourself, to be modest towards your own self. Listen, to be lonely in the mind of self. It means to not have you in your mind. Is that against our culture today or what? Everybody says, "Well, think about yourself. Think about number one. Think about me, myself, and I." Daffy Duck is so proficient at that. It's mine, mine, mine. Give it to me, 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 mine, mine, mine. And we've got a culture like that. Paul says, "Listen, I came to you and I ministered to you in humility." It means I didn't have my thoughts on me. He says, "My thoughts were on you."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Apostles' Farewell Address, speaking of Paul and his announcement of returning to Israel. This is actually a mini-series, a look at Acts chapter 20, which means that we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, in just a couple of days, it's the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And you've undoubtedly learned that the primary focus is the religion of Islam and its threat, really, to the world, starting here in the West. Now, Pastor Jack, isn't that shimmying out onto the proverbial limb to say something like that?
This may sound very controversial, but I want to encourage all the listeners to think for a moment. We all hear in the media spin that Islam teaches that it is a religion of peace. However, I encourage the listeners to go study the life of Muhammad, to go study the life of the key leaders of Islam, to look at the nations today that are under Sharia or Islamic law, and then ask yourself, are these nations at peace? Are the people free? What has Allah done for the Muslim? People need to look at this. And again, we are a victim of not knowing history. And like never before, if we study history, we are going to see a clear trend of what happens when the Islamic agenda advances. And now they're here. Now they're in the West. And America is the target, is their goal.
And there's still time to register?
I really want to encourage you to come to this conference. If I had any means to back up what I'm about to say, it is this. If I had the power to pay you back, if you didn't like the conference, I would do that. That's how confident I am regarding this conference. Christian brother and sister, you need to come to this. You need to listen. And so you can reserve your seat by calling us at 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you're local here in the Southern California area, you could call us at 909-393-7100. And then to view the speakers, you could go to SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com.
Okay, so that's SoCalProphecyConference.com, SoCalProphecyConference.com. Or call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.